found out in the parking lot. Well, isn't that weird? That is wild. Looks like a picture that's been in the newspaper. And it's an older gentleman and his wife. And it was just laying here on the pulpit. And it said, this is their 65th wedding anniversary, August the 2nd. How'd we get it? That's the picture the McDowell News took, right there. Because it's got their writing and stuff on the back of it. 2x5 3/4 and all this stuff. You reckon the Lord wants you to see that tonight? Somebody been married 65 years? That's what I'm going to preach on, you know. Amazing how He helps me. I ain't no good at all without God just helps me. 65 years. You know her granddaughter. It says, please return to Sandra W. from the newspaper. And I don't know who's Sandra W. McDowell News wasn't out here in the parking lot this morning, was he? Anybody see him? Well, I'll be. Well, I appreciate that. Boy, ain't they sweet? 65 years married. Is that right? Hey, isn't that something? Now, I'll bet you that old fella and his wife had troubles down through the years. And little did they know that one day a preacher would stand up and show their picture to a few hundred people and encourage them to hang in there with their marriage. Look how God used them tonight, and they don't even know it. Ain't that something? You know, used to, I ain't talking about church aside, brother. Used to, when people got married, they looked up that word in the dictionary. Married, joined. And I mean, they said, this is it. We're burning our bridges behind us. And they, when a problem come up, they didn't say, we'll forget each other. They said, work on the problem. I'm talking about people that ain't even Christians. When people got married years and years ago, they just took for granted it was for life. God made a man, God made a woman in the Garden of Eden. He made them there and He said, that's all you needs, each other. Then, of course, they had kids and 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 kids. And then sin came in and changed everything, messed everything up. Until we have reached the point in America today that 50% marriages end up in divorce. It's a scary, scary time. Now, your chances are greater than 50% because you go to church. I'd say among faithful church members in good churches, it might be 10%. 1 out of 10. Out in the world, it's 5 out of 10. You got the best chance of making it than anybody, and look at the problems that church people are having. You know what? I heard a study, somebody come out on TV not long ago, and they said, well, divorces are declining. Why, who in the world can't figure that out? You know why divorce is declining? They just ain't even bothering to get married nowadays. Divorce ain't declining, brother. It's at an all-time high. It's just that people just ain't even fooling with getting married or divorced nowadays. It's a sad day. It's sad. It scares you. It scares me. It breaks my heart. And I want you to know I've been reluctant. You know, the Lord's put this on my heart for months, and I've kind of held back. Because I thought, well, people would say, well, who in the world are you trying to tell us how to have a marriage? Well, I'll tell you who I am. I'm your pastor trying to tell you how to have a marriage. And I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about having a Christian marriage. And I'll tell you, you know why I'm preaching it? Because you need it. And brother, there has never, ever, ever, I have never in my life seen to be. You've never looked at any preacher that hates homes breaking up any worse than me. God only knows. God only in heaven knows. The days that I went without food, the hours that I've prayed, the pounds that I've lost, God only knows how deep that I feel about a marriage commitment. I believe when you marry somebody, that you in your mind, that the bridges are burned. There's no turning back. That's it. You young people hear me tonight? You getting ready to tie the knot? When you enter into that marriage, and you take that person by the hand, you're saying, from now on, I'm yours. There's not room for another person. And by the grace of God, stick. I know there's a lot of you that has been through the unfortunate experience of a divorce, and it's a day we're living in. It's 50%, as I said. Half the doors you knock on when you're out on visitation, you're going to find people that's either separated, single, or in their second marriage. One half the doors. And I'm certainly not throwing no rocks at you tonight. You'd stay in the position you're in and serve God the best of your ability. And make that thing work. And there's a lot of ignorant people would try to break up your second marriage. And that's got to be one of the most ignorant, dumb doctrines that the devil ever hatched out. There's a man on the radio down in Hickory preaching. And he's telling people they're supposed to leave their second mate and go back to their first one. That dumbbell needs to read Deuteronomy 24. That's abomination to God. I don't care what he thinks. That's abomination to God Almighty. You say, well, I don't care what you think. That's abomination to God Almighty. And if you disagree with that, you're wrong. You're just flat wrong. When two people are married, God says them people are stuck to each other and wrong to separate. Wrong. That's how God feels about it. Now listen. Did you know that married people live longer than single people? The death rate is twice as high between 5 to 34 years of age for single people than it is married people. You say, what does that mean? It means better wed than dead. That's right. I guess because single people that age have more of a tendency to get out and run around and drink and carouse around and get in car wrecks and get stabbed and shot and stuff like that. God ordained marriage to settle you down, brother, and to avoid fornication. That's what the Bible says. To avoid fornication, that sexual impurity, let every man have his own wife and every woman have her own husband. That's God's plan. I'm going to preach to you tonight, say some things to the husbands, say some things to the wives. So you wives won't think I'm prejudiced, we'll take the husbands first. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 21. Now here's a verse all you husbands need to remember. Before it tells the wives to submit to you, it tells you to submit to each other. Boy, men don't like that verse, do they? What do you do with the verses in the Bible you don't agree with? Ignore them, skip over them, or try to live by them? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. There's the verse the wives don't like. I'll guarantee you about half of you ladies wish to your soul that wasn't in there. Why in the world did God put that in the Bible? That's what you think. I'll bet some of you thinks God didn't even put that in the Bible. Some people think Paul was prejudiced against women. They really do. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Verse 23, for the husband should be the head of the wife. That ain't what he said, is it? He is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You know, there's a great verse. As the church is subject to Christ, let the wives be their husbands. There's why wives ain't subject to their husbands anymore. Church ain't subject to Christ. Verse 25. Here's one the husbands have a hard time with. Wonder why it don't tell wives to love their husbands? Wonder why the Bible don't say nothing about a wife loving her husband. Why is it always telling them men, love your wife, love your wife, love your wife? Now, y'all know that. You've heard me preach it. Anybody can answer that question? Men are what? Selfish. Men are selfish. A man's biggest problem is he thinks of himself. He's always been that way. The average man, you say, well, I've got to get him. He ain't selfish. He's the exception. The exception proves the rule. Men are selfish. A woman's biggest problem is her mouth. That's right. She can't keep it shut. Don't get mad at me. Anybody who disagrees with that, I'll dare you pastor a church 5 years and you'll come back apologizing for getting mad at me. I know what I'm talking about. I know. Now, I may look like a dumbbell, and there's some things I'm very ignorant about. But I can write you a book that thick, brother, on men and women and problems in church and husband and wife. I'm an expert on that stuff. I ain't bragging. I'm not even proud of how I had to learn it. I can tell you if your husband or wife's running around on you. You don't believe that, do you? I'll guarantee you I can. Anybody wants to know? Come over to my office and ask me after church, and I'll ask you a few questions, and I can tell you if they are or not. God gave me a sermon on it. You're scared to ask me, ain't you? No kidding. No kidding. If you're suspicious, I got a checklist, and I can tell you everything I've been on. I've watched it down through the years, and I've dealt with hundreds and hundreds of people. I get phone calls all the time. It's just like a doctor over here. He can say, stick out your tongue. No. You've got this, see? I can diagnose it. There's a lot. I don't know not one Greek word. I don't know one Hebrew word. I don't know anything about how deep the sea of the Dead Sea is. And I can't tell you about a lot of things some preachers are called to do. Brother, when it comes to that stuff right there, I've studied that stuff for 10 solid years, and I've got it running out my ears. Now, I can tell you what causes your marriage problem. Before I get through tonight, I can tell you a formula that will keep any marriage from ever breaking up if people do it. I can tell you what I believe wrong with marriages in America tonight, and if everybody would do about 3 things that I'm going to give you when I get through, their home would never break up. Look at it. Husbands, love your wives. How, preacher? Even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it. As a man told me one time, he said, Brother Danny, I just feel guilty. I got the best wife in the world. He said, I feel like I just love her too much. It's a sin. And I said, do you love her more than Christ loved the church? He said, good night, no. I said, you don't love your wife too much. Say amen right there, ladies. You better say amen. You ain't going to get many chances. Now listen tonight, brother. If a man don't love his wife more than Jesus loved the church, he don't love her too much. There ain't a man in here loves his wife too much. Not a one. Gave himself for it. Verse 26. That he might sanctify it and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. My goodness. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Our church tonight will be no stronger than the homes that make up this church. Brother, we are in the battle. Brother, the devil has his guns turned against us. There's no doubt about it. I can go back in my mind. It's good to see a lot of you still hanging in here. It really is. I look back and I can see a long bloody trail of casualties back down through the years where the devil has come in and tore up a man or a woman's life. and knocked them out of the will of God, stole their rewards in heaven, cheated them out of their family, robbed them of the most precious thing in this world beside their salvation. Oh, it's a sad day, but it's true. Let me say a few things tonight, first of all, to the husbands. I believe there's a wrong way and a right way to be a husband. I know none of us are perfect, but I believe we ought to try to be. You men in here tonight, it ought to be your desire to be the very best husband that you can possibly be to your wife. You have the authority in your home. God has placed you there as an authority and will also hold you responsible one of these days for your wife and your children. I don't know to what extent God's going to hold you responsible, but I do know and believe that He will. Get me up on this middle one, Brother Roy, just a hair, if you don't mind. First of all, let me say something about the wrong way of being a husband. In this matter of authority, for example, did you know, men, that it's real easy to get backslid in your heart and overstep your bounds in this matter of authority? I've seen this problem mess up a lot of marriages where the man gets to thinking, well, glory to God, the Lord made me the head of the house, and he just is backslid as 4 o'clock, and so, but since he's the head of the house, he said, boom, what I say goes, and everybody's got to do what I say. Now, I believe it's wrong for a man to take advantage of that scripture and abuse his wife or children, don't you? I believe that you men ought to take that scripture and believe it and live by it, but it is wrong for you to take advantage and abuse that scripture. You come in, you know, I could give you some examples, but I've seen a lot of them. The Bible said if you love your wife, you ought to love them like you love yourself. Let me say this tonight, folks. The Bible said for husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. There is not one place in the Bible where Jesus makes the church do anything. Amen. Can anybody show it to me? Why does the church do what the Lord wants them to? She loves Him, right? Why does the Lord command the church certain things? Why? He loves the church. But Jesus never makes the church. I heard a preacher say one time, and everybody, yeah, hallelujah, glory to God, amen, shouting. And a preacher said, if my wife didn't do something she's supposed to, I'd cram a dish rag in her mouth. Everybody, woo, glory to God, that's stupid. Why does the Bible say that if the church disobeys the Lord, He'll cram a dish rag in her mouth? Huh? Ain't in there, is it? All right? It's wrong for a husband to abuse his authority. The church, the Lord wants the church. He don't make the church witness. He don't make the church tithe. He don't make the church pray. I've seen a lot of young preachers, and they'll get married, and they'll say, now, honey, you're going to read 10 chapters a day. Did you pray your 15 minutes today? Well, get down there and pray. You know, that ain't the way the Lord does the church. The Lord wants the church to pray. The Lord wants the church to read the Bible. But I can tell you young preachers something, and I can tell you men in here something tonight. You might make them do right, but you won't make them like it. You might make them go to church, but you can't make their heart be in it. You have to lead your family and be an example to your family and guide your family, and then let them, out of love and respect, follow you. You lead the family. You don't drive them. If some men would get a divorce from themselves, they could live happily ever after with their wife. Their problem is that they love their selves. All they think about is their self, their self, their self. Their wife works all day long. Some of them, they work on a job, have to work just as hard as he does or harder. And then they come in, you know, and they come in that evening, flop, off goes the shoes, and off goes the socks. I ain't going to do that. And he throws them over in a little pile. And he says, bring him a coffee. Click, click.
Supper about ready. She has to fix the supper. She has to wash the dishes. I ain't forgot them. I'm gonna do something else. She has to do everything. She has to do the housework. She has to wash clothes. She has to put them in the dryer. He works from sun to sun. Her work's never done, right? I'll tell you, that ain't right. That ain't right. By the way, I believe it's a husband's job to make the living and pay the bills. Amen. And if the wife works and does help him pay the bills, that means she's doing half of his job. Anybody in here who has your wife working on a public job, she's doing half of what your job is. So fair is fair. If she's doing half of yours, you ought to do half of hers. Boy, I want some amens right there now. I've noticed some of you are backslid on your amens. I ain't kidding. I sat over there the other night and Brother Bobby Thompson was preaching, and me and John say it once in a while. Once in a while there'd be another and trickle out, but there wasn't very many amen. You ought to amen the truth. If she does half your job, you ought to do half her. If she works on a public job, you ought to do half of the washing, half of the ironing, half of the dishes. You better say amen right there, girl. Amen! So I ain't going to be hen-pecked. You ain't going to have no hen to peck if you don't watch it. I didn't mean that like that. I didn't mean that, Yinzer. Brother, I believe a man ought to help his wife. I believe a man ought to help his wife. They say, listen, I'll tell you another thing I can't stand. I can't stand to see a man get his wife in public and make little slurry remarks about her and put her down and criticize her in front of company. Boy, that burns me up, brother. I don't believe that's right. That's God's woman that He gave you, buddy. And I'll tell you what, she's God's gift to you, and she loves you, and she's faithful. You ought to treat her like a queen, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself to criticize her in public, put her down in front of her friends. Boy, I married the old bag over there. Well, why didn't you get a movie star, handsome? It's the best you could do. Amen. I'll tell you something else too, brother. For you mama's boys who've got to go to your mama's every day. And I mean, it's mama this, mama that, and mama this, and mama that. Once cook like mama, once cook. I wouldn't blame some of your wife. And she said, why don't you just go back home to mama? Amen. Amen, brother. When God said, leave your father and mother and cleave to your wife, when you get married, you leave mama. I can't stand to see a man been married 20 years and spend more time with his mama than he does his wife. Some of them never have anything good to say about their wife and expect their wife to worship them. They think it makes them look tough to put their wife down and some kind of macho he-man to make their wife look bad. And I'll tell you something else. The Bible said to the husband, wife, submit yourselves to your own husband as unto the Lord. Some men are so unlike the Lord, the law, not the Bible, but the law would condone the wife not submitting to them. I heard about this man one time. He kept saying, well, why ain't you got this done? She said, well, I've worked all day long. He said, I can't. You know, he comes in, he can't tell you've done nothing. And you've worked all day long. You think, well, surely he'll notice it. He don't come in and look for dust on the furniture. I couldn't tell you if there's any dust. I guarantee you they ain't. But I ain't looked. My mom's a fanatic. Daddy says, as soon as the sock hits the floor, she's gone with it, gone to the washing machine. But men don't come in and go like this, you know, and say, well, what have you done? Oh, I've noticed you cleaned those windows today. He looks like, what have you done all day long? And this man got to aggravating his wife one time. He said, now, you ain't done nothing. She got tired of it, and she said, all right, let's swap jobs one day. So, that day he took her job, and he kept a little list of what all he'd done. At the end of the day, he had wrote it down. He had opened the door 106 times. Hollered, stop, 172 times. Settled 17 quarrels. Wiped 19 noses. Answered 145 questions. Lost temper 57 times. Tied shoes 16 times. And was glad to see his wife when she got home on that evening. And was glad and pat her on the back and said, I never want to trade jobs with you again. I know they do some dumb things, fellas.
But that makes them sweet. It does. You don't just a dumb blonde or a dumb brunette or a dumb black-haired wife. That makes them sweet, you know. I know they say some crazy lines. She's nuttier than a fruitcake. You know, that makes them sweet and lovable. Or about that guy, you know, he took his wife fishing and she's out there. And she's saying, honey, you're going to have to get me another cork. This will keep sinking. Well, let me say something about the right way for to be a husband. There's a right way. There's a thousand things I could have said on what I just got through saying. Oh, by the way, let me say this. You're to love her in the right way. Now, when I say this, men, I mean this. When you marry that woman, you marry the whole family, like it or not. You get her mama, you get her daddy, you get all her brothers and sisters, like it or not. You're in the family, and they're in your family, and you just well get that through your head and accept your mother-in-law. That man, I'm hitting it now. I'm telling you tonight, brother. Did you know? Other than physical sexual relations and money and kids, in-laws cause more marriages to break up than about anything. They say that the penalty for bigamy is having two mother-in-laws. Some men think the blessed hope is when their mother-in-law dies. But I tell you what, buddy, when you marry her, you get the whole crowd. Blessed is the man that has established a good relationship with his mother-in-law. You say, well, she don't like me. That's normal, see? Nobody's good enough for her little darling. There ain't never been a woman that thought their kid got one good enough for them. I mean, really. I mean, look, there's exceptions. Sometimes they'll, like Joyce bragging on Sherry over that, there's exceptions. But 9 times out of 10, they'll say, there's no telling how far my daughter went in life. She hadn't married so-and-so. He's all right, I reckon, but, and they hate him. And I guess I'll probably feel the same way. When my little girls start getting married, when Carrie gets married, we're going to have it here in the church. If the Lord don't come, I'm going to march her down the aisle, come down here and stop. Then I'm going to turn around and perform the wedding ceremony. And buddy, you talk about a kid that's going to get it. That kid is going to get it. And I'm going to tell him, son, if you ever mean to her or lay a hand on her, I will personally beat your eyeballs out. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And I'm going to tell her, if you're ever disrespectful to him, or if you ever cause him problems, or if you're not submitted to him, or you're grouchy to him, I'll beat your eyeballs out. Yeah. I'll tell you something else, you ain't going to come whining back to me neither. You're getting mad, and you're going to stay mad. I'd have to come over and beat both of his eyeballs out. And I think that's the way, there's a right way to be a husband. Now the Bible says, love her. How? As Christ loved the church. You need to assure her. Not just love her. You know what some of you men need to do? You need to tell your wife you love them more than you do. They need to hear it. You say, good night, I told her week before last. Well, she needs to hear it several times a day. They're insecure. And they need to hear that. They need to hear, say, I love you, I love you, I love you. But you got to mean it, see? Don't just say it like I said it. Say it like you mean it. I love you. You've got to mean it. You've got to mean it. And you got to say it with a straight face. I'm telling you what will happen, buddy. You better love her like the Bible tells us over and over and over. How much the Lord loves her. We ought to minister to her. You are the Savior of the body. She is the weaker vessel. You ought never to abuse her. You ought never to be hateful to her. You ought never to be smart-alecky to her. And you ought never to run around with your buddies all the time or riding a motorcycle or a rabbit hunting or something like that and let her sit at the house by herself. You ought to get her and take her with you or take her to the mall and walk around till you're sick of it once in a while. You say, well, Brother Danny, me and my wife do things together. I took her fishing the other night. Boy, ain't you a great husband. Make her sit out there on a bucket all night long. Scared she's going to get snake bit. Mud squishing up between your toes. Lord, you ain't the most romantic feller that ever come along.
Some of you men, you just think you're so hot. You just think you are. You don't even take a bath. You think she's guaranteed to love you forever. You might be in for a shock, friend. And I ain't kidding either. You might be in for a shock. But you know what a man told me? Let's see, when was it? I could tell you a bunch of illustrations if I wasn't preaching here in Marion. Be some of your kinfolk, sure as the world. Well, if I was off preaching this message, I could have story after story after story after story. A man told me the other day, down there, I believe it was in South Carolina, somewhere where I was at. I said, he met me and he said, "Brother Danny, he was divorced." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry," and you know, something like that. And he said, "I just came home one day, right out of clear blue sky, and everything in my house was gone. Left that morning, everything seemed to be okay. Told my wife goodbye, have a good day, so and so. Come home that evening, she's gone." And a lot of times there's the devil put a wedge in between you, and there's problems there, and it builds and builds and builds and builds, and you're busy making a living and busy going here and busy doing this and busy doing that, and you don't know how what she's going through, and now she won't even talk to you because she's afraid of your companionship. And I believe if you take her fishing, that you ought to take her to Gatlinburg or the mall. I hate to walk around in a mall. You can walk, if you ever notice, you can walk around in the woods for 6 hours and not be tired, and you can walk in a mall for 1 hour and beat your feet's killing you. Most cement floors. Son, I've seen them old grandmas in them places look like they're in a coma. Walk around in there. They just, a woman can do that, brother. I mean, for hours. They can shop till they drop. That's right. Brother, it's amazing. They can be a diabetic laying on their deathbed. Somebody goes, "You want to go shopping?" "Yeah, I believe I can make it." You know, pull out of there and they'll hit Kmart, Walmart, Goodies, all them places. They just love that stuff. And you sorry men ought to take them. You ought to take them. And you ought to take them out to eat and buy them a nice steak or something too. "Oh, preacher, we've been married years and we never did do that." Yeah, and you grew up in a different generation than we're growing up in too. By the way, let me tell you something else. You that have got a good marriage, you better be real careful about looking down your nose saying, "Oh, I don't believe my husband has to do all that stuff." You just ought to thank God he's blessed you like he has. Hey, some people got problems you don't know nothing about. They some people that hadn't even slept in the same room in years and been married. And why they never speak a kind word to each other. And their lives are living hell. You ought to think about that. That's like a man that ain't never been sick. Telling the sick people in the hospital, "Oh, get up, ain't nothing wrong with you." You better watch it. You better watch it. You better be faithful to her too. How does Jesus love a church? What does Jesus say to the church? "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." That ought to be the way you have to talk to your wife. "I'll never leave you, honey. I'll never leave you." Amen? Hey, the Lord told the church, he said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And you ought to have that same attitude to your wife. Well, let me move on right quickly. You know what the devil will do to you, man? The thing nowadays is, take your secretary out to eat. You know, that little business trip here, you know. And some of the guys from the office are going, and a couple of the secretaries. You don't really want your wife to go because none of the other men's taking their wife. And to be right honest with you, you're kind of ashamed of her. Because she tries to live right, and she's godly, and, you know, they think she's an old fogey. And next thing you know, you're down there with the boys at the office and they're drinking, and then here comes some pretty little secretary flashing herself in front of you, and one thing leads to another. You've heard me say it again and again and again and again and again and again and again. I believe if you're married that you have no business out with the opposite sex eating. I mean, people and you say, "Well, it's just a friendly little bit." Yeah, I've seen how them friendly little deals go. For one thing, it don't look right. What y'all saw, let me find me a married person here.
Brother John there. What if y'all saw Brother John with some flashy looking lady going in the steakhouse tomorrow about lunchtime? Some of you gossiping ladies, his phone will be ringing off a hook to tell his wife. You say, well, we had to because of the business. Yeah, but the thing is, it just don't look right. It just don't look right. And another thing, it gives the devil a chance to begin to put thoughts in your head. I wouldn't doubt there ain't somebody in here tonight. You're thinking thoughts right now about somebody you shouldn't be thinking thoughts of, and you've got a crush on somebody, and you're married, and you lusting after somebody else. I'm telling you, before that destroys you, you better get that out of your heart. You better get it out of your heart. You say, preacher, I've tried. I've prayed, and it's still there. I can't think of nothing else. You better pray until God takes that out of there. If you have to fast, if you have to... You say, well, I got to work and see this woman every day. I've advised men to quit their job before. Get away from them hussies. That's the right way to be a husband. I could tell you some stories there, but I can't. Well, you know, the Bible says over about Isaac and Rebekah, they looked up there and they saw Isaac sporting with his wife. Now, don't ask me what that means, but I know one thing. He had told that king that was his sister, and that king looked out there and seen him sporting, and he said, that ain't his sister. Whatever it was, brother, they wasn't leapfrog playing, you know, they wasn't playing hide and go seek. And I believe there's ever been a time. Somebody said, well, we just fuss all the time. I believe we'd be better off just to get a divorce and forget about it. Divorce is not the answer to a problem. Divorce is a problem. It's another problem, brother. It may solve a few, but it creates more than it solves. And I know sometimes it can't be helped. I understand that. It's probably better than any of you. And I understand that God put his wife away. I think about that the other day. In the Old Testament, God said he gave Israel a bill of divorcement and put her away for going around whoring on him. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about me and Roy Lee talking about when he's Christian school. And I said, isn't that funny? God couldn't go to that school. That's a thought, you know. That's a thought. I can tell you some Christian schools right now that wouldn't let the Lord in. You might as well say amen. You might as well say amen. That's bad. That's bad. That's Pharisaical, self-righteous, long nose. God can't bless a mess like that. God can't bless a mess like that. Very idea of you condemning the Lord God Almighty. Who do you think you are? Let me tell you something about these wives now. Here's the right way and the wrong way to be a wife. First, the wrong way. You say, what's the worst thing I can do, preacher? Well, there's a bunch of worst things. One of the worst things is nagging. I will probably do more damage by this sermon tonight than I will good. There'll be fusses all over McDowell County tonight when y'all go, you heard what he said, didn't you? I'm glad he said, I knew Brother Danny believed like I did on that. Now listen, I ain't trying to cause no trouble. Nagging has sent many a man to destruction. That's right. Brother, if a continual dropping wears away a stone, constant nagging will ruin the best disposition in a man. You will finally just break his personality all to pieces if you just aggravate him and he's turned you off 6 months ago. He don't even listen. Most time when he comes in the door, he just, yeah. Because it's the same old stuff. When you going to do that, blah, 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 blah. Till the time he goes to bed, man. It's a wrong way to do it. That's a wrong way to do it. If you girls play your cards right, you can get anything out of him. But that ain't the way to do it. The worst way in the world to get a stubborn man to do something is fuss at him. He'll just get more stubborn and more stubborn. Let me give you a verse of Scripture. Bible said in Proverbs 27:15, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. That's what the Bible said. A continual dropping on a very rainy day. Drip, 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 drip. Have you ever had a faucet that just drip? Drip. Oh, shut up so I can go to sleep. You know, drip, drip, drip. And a contentious woman are a lie. Now, Solomon ought to know. Solomon had 700 wives. That's hard to believe. If the Bible didn't say that, I wouldn't believe it. Why in the world? It said he was a wise man. I believe it, but just because the Bible says it. He's missing something somewhere. He wasn't wise when he done that. 700, brother, and 300 concubines. Far as I can tell, if we get on this concubine stuff again, far as I can tell, a concubine was just a live-in that you wasn't legally married to. 700 wives, 300 concubines, and Solomon said, I've looked for one, I ain't found a woman in 1,000 in Ecclesiastes. And Solomon said, a drip on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Now back, you got to understand how where they lived back in them days. Back in them days, their roofs weren't made out of 20-year shingles like we got nowadays. Their roofs were made out of mud and straw and stuff, and they caked it and let it harden by the sun, and it got harder and harder and harder and harder and harder. Now, when it would rain, water would normally just run off them roofs back in those days. Most people lived in huts. They didn't live in palaces like Solomon did, and most of them people lived out there, and, well, it'd be like huts to us. It was nice houses to them, and boy, that rain, if it rained, let's say, like it did about the 4th of July, rained like 3 or 4 days in a row, that water would slowly, 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 through a big storm, would slowly seep through all them that mud and would soak that mud. And it'd finally start dripping on the inside. It might take it a day or two of a real bad hard rain storm. And boy, that's finally start dripping. But you know what he meant by saying that? What they said was, after the rain had quit, see, and the sun was shining, and it was a beautiful day outside, that mud was soaked and would still drip, drip, drip. What's he saying? He's saying this, storms come to your life. Storms cause problems. Every man and woman is going to have a disagreement. Every man and woman is going to have things. But you know what he don't want, ladies? He don't want you to store all that stuff up. And after the storm is over, and the fight is done and over with, and the argument's settled, and the sun's shining and everything's wonderful again, for days later for you to be going, drip, drip, drip. I've had men tell me every time, they said, Brother Danny, we had a fuss a week ago. I told her I'm sorry. I told her I'd make it up to her. I told her I'm like, and still just drip. Drip. It quit raining a week ago and she's still dripping. There's what you got to watch out for. There's what you got to watch out for. Did you know you can nag when your lips are closed? I'd rather them go ahead and say it than give me that silent junk. What's the matter with you? Nothing. Oh, come on now. I know something's wrong with you. What's wrong? Nothing. For days and days and days. What you doing, girl? You're punishing him, right? You're making him pay for his sins. Yeah, I know how you are. You'll say, you just wait till he tries to kiss me. Cut his sugar off. Darling, I love you. Get away from me. Now, you have put yourself in God's position now. You're saying he sinned, vengeance is mine, I will repay. I'll make him suffer, and only when you think he's suffered enough will you be nice again. If you just cool it and be nice anyway, God might whip the devil out of him, and he'd straighten up. There you go. There you go. I'm giving you some good advice now. Plus, if you're nice to him anyway, it'll make him feel like a dog, and he'll start being better to you. Did you know that you are a completer and it's your husband? There ain't no man complete without a woman. Did you know that? God took a rib out of Adam. Adam wasn't perfect, complete until God gave him a wife. And brother, no man in here is complete if your wife ain't complete and your husband. You say, well, I need some love and attention and all that. I'll tell you how to get it. I'll tell you how to get anything you want from your husband. Complete him. Brag on him. Tell him he's the greatest thing in the world. You know he ain't. I know he ain't. But, I mean, to you he is. Make him feel, make him, Bible says, man loves his wife like he loves his own flesh. If he loves himself, he'll love you. If he feels like, well, I am a good husband, he'll give you the love you need. Now, there's exceptions, but that's a good advice for you to follow. Nagging. Like this woman wrote to a columnist, and she complained, Ann Land or somebody, that her husband was out living in a treehouse. And he got away from her nagging and was talking to passerbys and made her embarrassed. But that the Bible says that. The Bible says better to dwell in the corner of a roof than in a wide house with a brawling woman. I didn't write the Bible. It says two or three things like that. I've only heard of one case in history where nagging done anybody any good. This one fella, his wife was the ultimate nagger. She nagged him into marriage. She nagged him into buying a house, having a family. Everything he ever done, she nagged him into it. And it wasn't long after that, her husband was in a car wreck and life got killed. And he was in a coma. And after 17 days of nagging, he spoke. She talked him right out of that coma. Somebody, let me give you some poetry. There's nothing like a wedding to make a feller learn. At first he thinks she's his'n, but later finds he's hern. As a man said up in heaven, they made two lines. And they had two lines of men, big line over here, big line over there. And he said, in one line was for all the men that had ruled their wives. And the other line, there wasn't one fellow standing in that line. And the other line was for all the men whose wives ruled them. Hundreds of men in that line. Only one fellow in that other line. They said, what are you doing standing over there? He said, my wife told me to stand here. That's about the way it goes, buddy. That's about the way it goes. You know what? I hate to admit what I'm getting ready to admit, but the truth is women really run the world. Men usually, you know, women just about control everything because some they can make you live miserable if you don't do what they want you to do. Okay, somebody come in and said, you wake up grouchy every morning? He said, no, I'll let her sleep. Go on to work. I had this one fellow that said, Lord said, what makes you think your wife's trying to get rid of you? And he said, well, I was going to. Every day this week, she's packed my lunch in a roadmap. Well, let me tell you the right way to be a wife. The Bible said in Proverbs 19:14, a prudent wife is from the Lord. You guys got a prudent wife? She's from the Lord, buddy. Submit, ladies. It's against your nature. You don't want to do it. I don't blame you at all. I don't blame you at all. I feel sorry for you having to submit to your husband. Nevertheless, God said, submit to your husband. I don't care what Jane Fonda thinks. I couldn't care less what ERA says. They're wrong. Look at the generation that crowd's producing. They sure ain't producing very good results. I still believe the best way is God's way. The best way is God's way. Ladies, you say, well, I want to be happy and be free. Best way for you to be happy is do what God said. You'll never be happy till you do what God said. I don't want to. Well, get down here and ask God to change your stubborn will. Come and we train you in God. Another thing the Bible says is respect him or reverence him. You know what that means? Deep respect. Love. He's your husband. Now I'm going to say something some of you ain't going to like. You ladies. I think it's also wrong for you to criticize your husband in front of his friends. And I think it's doubly wrong if you see something he don't see that you'll ruin him by continually correcting him all the time. Now you may be right and he may be wrong, but let the dumbhead find it out on his own. See? I think you'll ruin your husband if you're always showing him where he's, oh, you're not here. He'll get to thinking he's nothing. His ego's shot. You can destroy your husband like that. You say, well, Brother Danny, I know this crazy thing's making a mistake. Let him make one. He'll learn. What in the world's wrong with y'all laughing back at you? Tater, has your wife been being submissive to you? Has she? All right, all right. There's a crisis in this home over here we're dealing with tonight in this sermon. She been submissive to you? You tell me if she ain't. Arlene comes up here and acts like she's right with God. Putting Tater in an early grave. My. Okay, I'll tell you some good advice, ladies. Make up your mind tonight to overlook his 10 worst faults. Now, usually it covers about all your problems if you'll write down the 10 things that he does that you hate the worst. I can't stand it when he asks me this. I can't stand it when he throws his socks in the floor. All right, write down all those 10 things. I will not get mad when... Da-da-da-da-da-da. I will not get mad when... Da-da-da-da-da. I will not get mad when... Da-da. And then when he does one of those 10 things, say, "You're lucky that's on the list, buddy. I'm not mad. I'm not mad. I'm not mad." That'll solve your problems right there. He might even start picking up his socks. You ought to trust him. You ought to trust each other. They say nothing makes a marriage rust like distrust. And by the way, I could say this. Trust is earned. Trust is earned. You're wrong if you falsely accuse your mate of running around on yourself and you just got your head full of soap operas or junk stuff like that. That's a sin. But on the other hand, if you fix up like Marilyn Monroe every morning and want to run the roads all the time and won't never have nothing to do with him, he's not wrong for wondering what's going on. Amen? Hey, you're going to fix up for somebody, fix up for him. There's a lady, one of the ladies, let's see, who was it? Oh, is in another church I was preaching at. She came up to me, I'd said something about women looking wild or something. She said, "Well, do you think it's wrong for us to look good for our husbands?" And I said, "No." And let me say something else, too, about this makeup deal and stuff like that. Some of that stuff ain't none of the preacher's business. Amen? That's between you and your husband and God. If he likes you that way and God's pleased with you that way, then you please God and your husband. Amen? Now, I got my own personal convictions. You know, I don't like to see you look like hussies. And I don't think you should. And I don't think... But I tell you, some of the stuff you do, some of the places you go, between you and God and your husband. God, your husband may like you with blue lipstick. If he does, why, honey? I mean, be good to him. You please him and God. And don't let the brethren or the sistren or nobody else destroy your marriage by cramming their beliefs down your throat if it's not in the Bible. Now, if it's in the Bible, go by it. But I think our church has always been a church where you can be an individual and not be crammed down any mold that'll help your marriage. I know marriages that's broke up because somebody trying to please their other Christians and brothers and sisters and made their mate miserable. God ain't in that stuff. God ain't in a million miles of a bunch of junk like that. God ain't in it. God don't work like that. I'm not saying sin. I don't think it's ever right to sin. You say, "Does that mean I'm supposed to be loose if my husband wants me loose?" No. "Does that mean I'm supposed to drink?" No. "Does that mean I'm supposed to commit adultery if he wants me to commit adultery?" No. That means you do your very best to please him and put God first in your life and be the wife he wants you to be. Well, I didn't know I was going to say that, but I just threw that in. What would you think about a man that was going to break in your house at night and hit your kids with a baseball bat? And stick a knife in your wife's heart and twist it. What would you think about somebody that was going to come in your house at night, hit your kids in the stomach with a baseball bat, and stick a knife in your wife's heart and twist it? You say, "Boy, anybody like that? Sorry." That's the other woman. When you run around with another woman, that hurts your kids just like somebody hitting them with a baseball bat. And that hurts your wife just like somebody sticking a knife in her heart and twisting it. What would you think about somebody come in and stuck a knife in your husband's heart and hit your kids in the stomach with a baseball bat? That's that other man that's so sweet, that you think is so sweet. It's going to hurt your kids like hitting them with a baseball bat. Well, I said I was going to give you three things, and I'm going to do that right quick. There's a lot of other things I could say tonight and go into. I'm sure Brother Malone will cover some things even more plainly than I have, because he don't have to see you every week. And he don't have to, you know, if I say some things, somebody's going to think, well, he's talking about me. You know, that makes it harder on the pastor. But girls, be good to him and love him. Give him the love that he... It's a sad thing that you couldn't keep your hands off of him before you got married. Ain't it? Oh, yeah, man. Y'all just like before you got married. And now you won't even let him touch you. That's why somebody said, one way a man can make a girl stop chasing him is marry her. Don't have to worry about her liking you then. That's sad, isn't it? Let me give you these three things and I'm going to hush. If you do these three things, nobody's home, they'll break up. Number one, both of you get right with God. That's it right there. There'll never be a divorce if both people are right with God. You hear me? There'll never be a divorce if both people are right with God. There'll never be family problems if both of you are right with God. Number two, give each other the same respect you give other people. Now, I just said a big mouthful right there. I noticed that and noticed that and noticed that. How we can be so nice to other people. Well, hey, how are you today? You know, I won't talk. Shut up. To the one we're married to. That's a shame. That's a shame. It's a disgrace to God when you're nicer to these other women in here than you are your wife. Some of you men in here, you wouldn't dare walk up to some of these women in here and say, getting a little fat there, ain't you? But you talk to your wife like that. You wouldn't dare talk to another lady like you talk to your wife. Amen. You wouldn't dare criticize some of these other men in here like you talk to your husband. Oh, can I just throw this in? I'll just let this be three. I forgot what three was, so I'll let this be three. Never, ever compare your husband or wife to other people. Or if there's anything that burns me up, if you get home and you start saying, well, so-and-so never does that to his wife. I bet he's there. Oh, that makes you mad, don't it? I bet some of you had to hear that. Well, so-and-so, see, he takes his wife to eat somewhere every Sunday. You know, you don't ever take me. And you know what he said? Well, why did you marry so-and-so? He may not be everything that so-and-so is. But I'll guarantee you, he's got some good qualities that so-and-so ain't got. And if the truth is known, if you swapped husbands with what lady you think has got such a great husband, you'd probably want yours back in a short while. Most of you's got it made and don't know it. And I think if there's ever been a time under the Lord, people, there's ever been a time when we need to have hand in hand and make our marriages work just for the glory of God and the testimony of the church, it ought to be this day and time that we're living in. If your marriage is broke up, do the best you can for the glory of God. My heart goes out to you. If anybody in here ever says anything smart to you, tell me. Anybody in here looks down at you like you're second class, you let me know about it. I'll preach a sermon on it. And I'm telling you tonight, brother, we need each other. And do everything in your power. Oh, let me throw something else in here. Hit me right out of clear blue. It's wrong to get too close to friends. Don't get too close to people. If you're always hanging around with the same bunch, same two of you, four of you, there'll be something going on wrong before it's over with. Lots of time. Switch around. Have some different friends to fellowship with in the church. Devil, get in that thing before it's over with. You think I'm crazy, don't you? See me over here in my office after church, and I'll tell you what I'd like to be able to say right out here in front of everybody. But I can't, for I don't want to hurt a lot of people. I'm telling you, put God first, live for Him, treat your mate with respect, and you'll have a whole lot better life. Can't be right with God if you ain't right with your mate, or at least trying your best to be. All right, let's stand together and bow our heads. Every head bowed and every eye closed. They come and getting us a song tonight. You might want to just grab that wife or that husband by the hand and say, honey, let's go to the altar and pray tonight. I know some of you men, you're too stubborn and you're too proud. Some of you are going to wind up in divorce court if you ain't careful. You better be good to that wife. How long has it been since you just told her, honey, I love you and I appreciate you for being a good wife to me? Hey, if you men, you've got a wife that you just know she's going to be there when you get home, you ought to thank God. You ought to thank God. You ought to shout and hug your wife's neck and say, honey, I appreciate you. Just knowing that I can trust you means a lot. You ought to thank God for it. Dear God in heaven, help us tonight. Lord, please, may not one of these couples in here tonight ever bust up. Lord, we know that it's an epidemic in America. God, we know it's sad and it's tragic and little kids are having to suffer. I pray for the marriages that are struggling. God, salvage.